Welcome to our podcast. We're going behind the iconic blue signs of North Mississippi Health Services to connect you with important resources, hot topics, and information offered by our very own experts. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Castos for more episodes.
My name is Lindsay Robbins, Security Operations Center Analyst. I work in our cybersecurity department at NMHS.
Hey guys, my name is Chase Tubbs. I'm a media specialist here at North Mississippi Health Services, and always glad as always to have Lindsay back with us.
Today we're going to talk about the role you as an employee play in cybersecurity for your organization. Last month was October, and in the technology world, it was Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Our team had a banquet with our vendors and leadership to thank them for all their continued support, and we had a wonderful speaker by the name of Clint Walker, who works for CISA, also known as Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. He has an amazing background and has stories for days, and some stories that would keep you up for days as well. But one thing he said during this talk with us really resonated with me. He said he walked into an organization and asked if they knew who was in their cybersecurity program, and the person only knew the CISO, or Security Information Security Officer. He asked the person again if they knew anyone who was a part of their cybersecurity program, and the person responded as before. Clint finally told the person, everyone is a part of the cybersecurity program. The dedicated team are managers of the program. They manage the tools, the training, people, which is why I've taken on this role to try to get more and more information out there. We're all familiar with Smokey the Bear, and only you can prevent forest fires. Well, in 2015, Smokey got an update, and the new Receive a Bear Hug ad ran nationwide. In the ad, Smokey runs out of the woods and gives a big bear hug to campers for properly checking campfire embers. The new, more huggable version of Smokey rewarded campers for making responsible decisions rather than scolding them to prevent wildfires. Fear and anxiety are not always the best motivators, and many people respond better to positive motivation through awareness activities. Now, do I think that leadership will come and give you a hug because you locked your workstation before walking away from your desk? Absolutely not. But the scare tactic can only do so much. So you as an employee play a key role in building trust and security within your organization because you interact with your systems and data multiple times every day, which gives you multiple opportunities to either protect or create vulnerabilities for your security efforts. Yet, despite the impact of end users or employees, some organizations still take an approach with communication standpoint of, we're smarter than you, rather than let's work together. We used to tell our new hires that come in every other Monday that they are our last line of defense. But to me, that sounds like we threw all of our tools at whatever is coming through, and we're crossing our fingers, holding our breath, and hoping our end users or employees don't click that one malicious link. And I don't like the tone of that. We need to get our users education of what to look for, how to help and report, and to be confident in that. So now that I've said all that, I want to share some basic tips that can help you and your organization seem safe from a cybersecurity stance. One is one of the biggest ones to me, which is using strong passwords. The longer the password, the better, but 12 is the minimum length to create a challenging and secure password. This is because it takes some hackers more work to create the number of possible sequences when hacking. Use a combination of letters, numbers, and symbols. Don't use personal data, so avoid personal facts like your pet name, your children's names, or anything else you may have shared on social media sites. These become siphons of personal data that you use to hack your accounts to steal your identity. Avoid words as they appear in the dictionary. You should do more than just combine unrelated words, make them unhackable. This can be difficult to do, but can be accomplished by intentionally including spelling error with words. You can also substitute numbers or special characters for letters to make it more difficult to crack. Remember, the less straightforward your password is, the less likely it is to get hacked. I know before I've used like an exclamation mark instead of an I, or I've used a 3 as an E, or anything like that. Other ways to protect your passwords online is to have different passwords for each account. If you use the same password for multiple accounts, you risk exposing data among many accounts if the password is breached in one area. I actually spot checked a call the other day where someone admitted that they used the password for every single account, and that kept me up really late during the night because she admitted to that to our service desk person. Next, use a password manager. Writing down or using a computer notes file or document to store your passwords can be tempting, but it makes it a lot easier for someone to access and use them. So a password manager can make it easy to have unique passwords for all your accounts and easily access them as you need them. Some even have where you can log into the system, an extension into your internet browser, and it just fills it in for you, or it can even generate passwords. Last is never share passwords. And this may seem like common sense, but I listen to phone calls all the time where someone admits to their son or someone else knowing the password. But people share passwords with others every day just out of convenience. But you're risking data and security. So please, please, please stay away from them. Another basic tip that can help you and your organization seem safe is to use and add multi-factor authentication, also known as MFA, whenever possible to add the extra layer of security to accounts. I can't tell you how many times MFA has saved an attacker from getting into a system. We've seen it in our system, and I'm sure people see it every day in their systems, because an attacker might have your username and password, but if you can't authenticate that login, then they're not able to get in. And that has been the saving grace in a lot of cases, especially recently. Next is just to be aware of phishing emails. Be cautious of unsolicited emails, messages, or links. Verify the sender's legitimacy before clicking anything. It was a couple months ago that we implemented the acronym SLAM, S-L-A-M, and that stands for senders. We want you to look at the sender display name, the sender email. L is for links, so we want you to look at the link. What is the email asking? Is it looking to be like a Microsoft email, but the link doesn't have anything to do with Microsoft? The A stands for attachments. Same with attachments. And also just to be wary if you have an attachment. We see all the time invoice scams that come through for people that have nothing to do with invoices. They don't work in accounts payable. They're not a department head, anything. They don't need to be receiving attachments, but people get curious. Everyone gets curious when they see invoice. How much do we owe, or how much is coming to us, or anything like that. So we see people click on that all the time. And last, the M stands for message. You know, what is the email conveying? Is there grammar issues? Does what they're asking make sense at all? Is there a sense of urgency? Are they trying to get you to do something immediately? Or are they wanting you to text or call them so they can take the attack off of a corporate device and onto your personal device where we can't help you? The next tip is to use secure Wi-Fi. We see more people working from home, whether in a hybrid situation or they just completely work remote. So using secure Wi-Fi, avoid connecting to public and unsecured networks for sensitive tasks. Next is just to be cautious when visiting websites and downloading files. Stick to a trusted source, plain and simple. You know, back in the day, I used to wreak havoc on my parents' computer with LimeWire. I can't tell you how many computers I crashed just because I wanted to listen to Eminem and Slim Shady through LimeWire. So please be very cautious. One we don't really think about as much, but social media privacy is a big one. Being aware of what you post online and adjusting your privacy settings to making sure what information is visible to the public. In the password, when I was talking about passwords earlier, if people have basic information to just names and addresses or anything like that, you know, that can start with the hacker of, you know, what could be used in a password. So just what you post can help them figure out, or can help them with other social engineering tactics of building a bond or getting in with personalized questions to make you think that they know you for some reason and that you would pass over information to them.
You're exactly right about what you said about social media postings concerning work. And, you know, everybody here, because we're a health services company, everybody thinks about HIPAA. That's nurses, doctors, media people, marketing, that is their number one HIPAA. Do not share anything with that sort of information. Mm-hmm. It is federally protected, and as it definitely should be. So that's great that they're on that, but another thing that IT people don't think about. So, you know, a minute ago we were talking about smaller mom and pop organizations because we have so many of those in this area. The larger organizations, people, especially the more tenured employees who have been around for a long time in IT. Mm-hmm. I'm currently doing a penetration testing type course, and we spent almost 40 minutes solely on LinkedIn. And LinkedIn mm-hmm. has grown tremendously in the past years. Like, I was going through design school back around 2010, 2011, and we were talking about how LinkedIn was dying, and it was dead. Obviously,
oh, really?
Yeah, it really was. Like, it had gotten super stagnant at that point. It wasn't growing. Nobody really cared about it much anymore, but they adapted. Congrats to LinkedIn. They adapted, made a lot of changes, and now it is the professional social media. So, whenever you say don't post things like that, most people think about Facebook, they think about Instagram, they think of, all that's good and fine. However, professionals today, be careful what you post on your LinkedIn. If somebody really is targeting your organization, it takes maybe 3 or 4 hours of their time to, do a little scanning on the front end, just see what you have publicly available on the internet. And then they can take some of that information and pair it with your job postings. Oh, they have a job posting for an Azure specialist or for a Microsoft Defender specialist. And let's say they're a large organization that's very specialized with their IT department. They can see immediately what you're running in your organization.
Right.
They can see that you have somebody who is not doing a job in that organization because you have a listing posted. So maybe you're down a couple of people, or you're expanding a team because your workload's gotten so much, your company has grown. They can see that. And a lot of people that don't think about places like Reddit, you see a lot of, it's a wonderful place for information, and a lot of IT people go there to get help, and not just IT. I mean, with all sorts of things, personal problems, family problems, whatever. But for IT people, you know, if you have your name on your Reddit profile and you say, hey, I'm having trouble with this, and this router, or, integrating into XYZ program. Well, I now know that you're using a Cisco XYZ right. router, and I now know that you're trying to integrate it into Microsoft X, mm-hmm. whatever. So you don't think about even trying to get help in places like that. And I understand that there are times where you need to post those details to get information from your colleagues. Maybe they're trying to solve the same problem, or they've just solved it and you need their help. I get that. But one really good way to go about that would be that after you've got your solution, either go back and edit your post to take out that key information of exact pieces or softwares, or just delete it altogether, which that problem won't be there for someone to view later when they're having the same issue, but also you're not accidentally throwing out what you have in your network infrastructure. So yeah, that's a little more specialized advice, but just know that is being taught in courses of how to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
And which, if it's being taught in courses, it means that people are actually using it in a negative way out in the world.
Right.
Because we're having to learn how to defend against it. So.
Yeah. I do. That really touches on, social engineering tactics. And I do want to get training together on that, because we actually had someone in our leadership team during a meeting. We brought that up, just what you post publicly and what is not even what you post, but just what's publicly available. It takes me no time to find someone's past 3 addresses. And some of it is just due to my background in criminal justice, and I just know how to get more information that's publicly available. And some of it is just true crime,
Absolutely.
So, but it's very scary what information you think is private, but it's publicly available. But just what you said, that is something, if I go on LinkedIn and I see these certifications that you're getting, it could lead me into either just A, knowing what tools that your organization is using, which can help me be more finite in attacking, or in a social engineering tactics where I approach you like I'm someone from Cisco. And, you know, if you're a big organization, you might not know who your Cisco representative is. And then we start a conversation and somehow, you know, I'm able to get in through that. So that's a great point. Just what is available even on LinkedIn.
I like that you brought that point up because it is something that people forget about because of how regular it is in our lives. It's overlooked a lot, you know, in mm-hmm. terms of being cautious with your job. And I don't know. I do like to for people to remember it's not just the mainstream things you post on.
Right.
It's the other things as well.
I struggle with that because on a professional side, you kind of want to boast, you know, look how I'm excelling. But at the same time, just given my background and not wanting my information out there, I don't want my information out there. And so even though you might want to seem, you know, you're expanding and you're learning to potential employers or just to show how you're doing professionally in your life, that you keep moving and keep growing and things like that. Sometimes it is it seems too boastful, but that's just the type of person I am. But just the information that you're putting out there.
Lindsay's version of that is check your ego.
At the door.
No, but yeah, that is I didn't even think about people pursuing certifications as part of it. I was mm-hmm. thinking more job postings and actual right. like help forums, but yeah, I didn't even think about looking at where people are moving and stuff. So that's another layer.
I have one person that's on my LinkedIn that I was getting my master's with, and he has posted every single certification, like every single Microsoft certification, and it took no time to go see where he was working at. And then, like you said, there's a job posting and you can see, well, that's the tool that they use. And, you know, so you could also go to him for questions, maybe because he is certified. But at the same time, if I'm a threat actor, I know what I'm looking for. I know what I'm going after, how to get in, or I know a guy, you know, you go to that Microsoft person.
That's very true. I've added my certifications to my profile, but I didn't share that. Mm-hmm. Like I added it. It was just, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, but I didn't post like, hey, I did. Of course, mine are super generic, so there's no, you know, I'm not going for Microsoft or Cisco or mm-hmm. whatever. But yeah, that's,
One of my biggest ones that I hone in on, especially in new hires, because I hope that if I get in early that maybe it will stick with them, but locking your device, just locking your computer and your mobile devices when you're stepping away or when not in use. In our organization have a 15-minute timeout, but still if you're walking away from your desk where it's not visible to you, we just use the Windows key and the L and it locks your computer. That is the biggest thing. It would take me no time to get into someone's computer and do things if their computer was unlocked. So I try to preach that to the new people that are coming in to just lock your devices, 2 clicks and you're done. And last but not least is report incidents. If you suspect security incidents or breaches, you know, report it immediately. See something, say something. If it seems suspicious, best thing you can do is call. Call your service desk and just let them know what's going on. And they'll look further into it and let you know, yes, this is something. Thank you so much. Or no, it's not, but thank you for reporting. We get calls every day and I go through tickets. And even if it's nothing, I still try to tell them, thank you for reporting, you know, stay vigilant. We really appreciate your report so that they know like, yes, this nothing came from this, but we really appreciate it. I would rather spend an hour looking into something that was nothing than someone not think to call in the first place because they might not think it is anything. So that's the biggest one is report.
So one quick tip that you didn't give in there that we don't think about it in our organization because of how strict we are with our computer management, but I'm thinking these smaller companies. So like I've always worked for mom and pops before I got here. we had an IT person, not a team, not whatever, you know, just a person. And these are, you know, these smaller mom and pops type businesses are not looking at cybersecurity as heavily because they're trying to keep their doors open, especially with, you know, today's economic climate and everything. But if you are at one of these places where you're not very restricted in what you can and can't do on your work computer, just always be really cautious about downloading random programs or little add-ons. Like one of my coworkers, she thought it was really cute that her cursor on her computer was a flower. And you know, that seems innocent enough, and somebody may look at that and go, why would my flower cause us to be hacked? But whatever's in that .exe file that allows you to have that flower cursor could be a backdoor into your network.
Right.
And you know, again, here we're very, very adamant about only certain people can download things. All downloads are checked. We check with vendors, make sure the vendor is secure that we're getting this from. But not everybody is, and not everybody has the resources to be like that, to be honest, whether that resource is meaning money or people or knowledge. So, you know, just if you don't, if you can't download something you want to put on your work computer from a trusted store like the Microsoft Store, the Apple Store, or whatever, just be extremely, extremely cautious before you install anything like that if your workplace doesn't put those sorts of restrictions on you.
I completely agree with that. And you're right. I actually came from a startup company before I came here. So I had a MacBook with zero restrictions on it. They basically just loaded the OS on there and sent it off to me. And then I just saved, you know, whatever programs we use to the computer. But I mean, there weren't any restrictions on it at all. So that was one of the things when I was looking up the of the tips that I really wanted to hone in on. I saw a couple and I thought to myself, well, these don't really apply to us because we have, you know, this in place and this in place. But you did bring up a good point. Smaller companies, mom and pop shops, they don't really have cybersecurity. They have IT and hoping that IT is going to act in a secure way. But so having said that, one of the tips that I ran across was just to make sure that you either have a patching schedule or just making sure that you're keeping your systems up to date, point blank. I do that with my phone because, you know, there are these things called 0 days, which is when a hacker or a threat actor exploits new vulnerabilities that the company themselves aren't aware of. So just making sure that your systems are up to date is one of the best ways that you can also stay safe. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Chase, for coming and adding some more tips that I didn't even think of. Anything else, Chase?
I think I'm good. You always cover it so well. And I'm just here for a little extra shine or headache, whichever you prefer. And we'll go from there. But yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, we'll see y'all next time. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. We are here to support you and are so glad you chose to spend time with us today. We hope this podcast helps you understand what connected feels like. Please don't forget to check back at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Castos for more episodes.